Little children, it's April 10th, 2023. 15:09 hours, Ward Green here. Today's study is from the Wild Road article, part 1, chapter 6, paragraph 4. So let's resume our study. I've been working on some audio possibilities, but I haven't had much sleep last night. I didn't get much sleep, so I don't think it's a good idea to attempt anything that could result in me doing any damage to any of my equipment or to my own person either. I should wait till I sleep a little bit more before I do anything that requires very high level of skill. So in our article today, Manetho was an Egyptian credited with authorship of at least Egyptica, possibly also the Book of Sothis, and his most ancient witness, Josephus, from circa 70 CE, or 70 of the Common Era, that is 70 years after the year the turn of the Common Era from 1 BCE to 1 CE. So it's really 70 years after 1 BCE is what it really is, because there's no year zero. It's about 70 CE when Josephus was flourishing. So Josephus's witness, Josephus gave a witness, but he is a witness of Manetho. He talks about Manetho, and he's the most ancient witness of Manetho, and and Josephus gives reason to believe that Manetho included Bible history. How do we know that? Well, that's made more obvious in his objections, his strong objections to Manetho. He talks about these things in, for example, in the footnote here, in his writing against Appian. That was also part of the book by Waddell, published in 1940. The book called Manetho with an English Translation has some of the writings of Josephus in it, and that's one of the places where Josephus disagreed with Manetho's identification of Moses, for example. So we have reason to believe that Manetho talked about the Bible characters, the people in the Bible, such as Moses and other Bible characters. Thus, that the BOS may contain some independent account of those events found recorded in the Bible is perhaps conceivable. And the important point there is independent account. In other words, that it was not written by Bible writers, it was written by Manetho. A highly significant possibility. It's significant. And it is possible, of course, because we can see that from the example already given about against Appian, which Josephus wrote. So the thing is, the BOS may contain some independent account of the Bible events. That's highly significant, because then we have more reason to give credit to the Bible, we have more reason to understand that the Bible was a widely read book, and it gives us a lot more information. Whether we believe it or not about this independent account will depend upon the fate or the final assessment of the many numbers expressed. These numbers being, for example, the dates, you know, or the numbers of years between different dates. However, we saw above a use of 2745 that was the year before the Common Era, which was Peleg's fifth year, a highly improbable eventuality, and evidence of truth, there being 700 years from 2745 to the birth of Jacob, and 511 years after to the expulsion of the shepherds. And that's from paragraph 5:8, or chapter 5, paragraph 8. Thus, we have good reason to investigate 2745 further. There are also other dates that warrant our attention. And that's the end of the study of Wild Road for today. It gives us some serious reason for thought about the Bible and about Manetho. Both, but the interesting thing is here that in the book of Sothis, for example, we saw this 700 years being mentioned. And whether that was written by Manetho or not, it could still be an independent witness. And it may not have been written by Bible writers. Because, for one thing, the Bible writers, like, for example, Syncellus was a Bible writer. He may have later added or translated or made notes in the actual works that he was working on or reading or translating or copying. So it's significant if it's independent and not from a Bible writer, because it gives us a remarkable confirmation from an independent witness if it turns out to be agreed upon by other Bible students or Bible commentators who have an opinion based on their study of the Bible. So it's very interesting and important what Manetho said about the Bible. It's just very important. And in the example of the 700 years there after 2745, we get down to just about the exact birth of Jacob. And he was a shepherd, and then we have the 511 years of the shepherd kings. And the Hyksos were shepherds too, and they were expelled from Egypt. In the genealogy, that date is, as we already said, it's 1533, roughly, BCE, which is about year 19 of Amos. So, thus we have good reason to investigate this 2745. Further. That's the end of that. Now, Genesis 41. So, Pharaoh's servant had been... Well, let's do our proverb. What was I thinking? I have an idea for proverbs for today, somewhere, written down somewhere. Maybe I can ask Jehovah and he can give me a proverb. I had written something down and I never got... Oh, I know what it was. I know what I was intending. Yes, right. Okay. Yes, yes. I know what I wanted to use for the scripture. Okay. I need to find it though, first of all. Let's see. There it is. So today's proverb, little children, is Proverbs 29 and verse 19. A servant will not let himself be corrected by mere words, for he understands, but he is paying no heed. So servants, their job is not to just do what they're told. Their job is to serve their master. And if the master tells the servant to do something that is going to harm the master, then the servant will not listen. So the words are not all that's required. The servant does his job based on what he knows is beneficial for his master, and that's why he understands, but he pays no heed to mere words. Words aren't enough. Very important principle to keep in mind for anyone who's desirous of being a servant. So, Genesis 41 now, Joseph is in prison. And he had told the cupbearer of Pharaoh, he'd asked him to remember him and to tell Pharaoh that Joseph was in prison and that he had been imprisoned for no good reason, that he was innocent, but he was imprisoned despite having committed no crime. But the cupbearer had forgotten, and it took 2 years to pass before the cupbearer, well, we'll see what happens here after 2 years. And it came about at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh was dreaming, and here he was standing by the river Nile in his dream. And here ascending out of the river Nile were 7 cows, beautiful in appearance and flat and fat-fleshed, they were fat, and they went feeding among the Nile grass. And here there were 7 other cows ascending after them out of the river Nile, ugly in appearance and thin-fleshed, and they took their stand alongside the cows by the bank of the river Nile. Then the cows that were ugly in appearance and thin-fleshed began to eat up the 7 cows that were beautiful in appearance and fat. At this, Pharaoh woke up. However, he went back to sleep and dreamed a second time, and here there were 7 ears of grain coming up on one stalk, fat and good. And here there were 7 ears of grain, thin and scorched by the east wind, growing up after them. And the thin ears of grain began to swallow up the 7 fat and full ears of grain. At this, Pharaoh woke up, and here it was a dream. And it developed in the morning that his spirit became agitated. So he sent and called all the magic practicing priests of Egypt and all her wise men. And Pharaoh went on to relate his dreams to them. But there was no interpreter of them for Pharaoh. Then the chief of the cupbearers spoke with Pharaoh, saying, "My sins I am mentioning today." Pharaoh was indignant at his servants, so he committed me to the jail of the house of the chief of the bodyguard, both me and the chief of the bakers. After that, we both dreamed a dream in the one night, both I and he. We dreamed each one his dream with its own interpretation, and there was with us there a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the chief of the bodyguard. When we related them to him, he proceeded to interpret our dreams to us. He interpreted to each according to his dream. And it turned out that just as he had interpreted to us, so it happened. Me he returned to my office, but him he hanged. And Pharaoh proceeded to send and to call Joseph that they might bring him quickly from the prison hole. Hence he shaved and changed his mantles and went in to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I dreamed a dream, but there is no interpreter of it. Now I myself have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it." At this, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "I need not be considered. God will announce welfare to Pharaoh." And Pharaoh went on to speak to Joseph in my dream. Here I was standing on the bank of the river Nile. And here ascending out of the river Nile were 7 cows, fat-fleshed and beautiful in form, and they began to feed among the Nile grass. And here there were 7 other cows ascending after them, poor and very bad in form and thin-fleshed. For badness I have not seen the like of them in all the land of Egypt. And the skinny and bad cows began to eat up the first 7 fat cows. So these came into their bellies, and yet it could not be known that they had come into their bellies, as their appearance was bad, just as at the start. At that I woke up. After that I saw in my dream, and here there were 7 ears of grain, coming up on one stalk, full and good. And here there were 7 ears of grain, shriveled, thin, scorched by the east wind, growing up after them. And the thin ears of grain began to swallow up the 7 good ears of grain. So I stated it to the magic practicing priests, but there was none telling me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is but one. What the true God is doing, he has told to Pharaoh. The 7 good cows are 7 years. Likewise, the 7 good ears of grain are 7 years. The dream is but one. And the 7 skinny and bad cows that came up after them are 7 years. and the 7 empty ears of grain scorched by the east wind will prove to be 7 years of famine. This is the thing that I have spoken to Pharaoh. What the true God is doing, he has caused Pharaoh to see. Here, there are 7 years coming with great plenty in all the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will certainly arise after them, and all the plenty in the land of Egypt will certainly be forgotten, and the famine will simply consume the land, and the plenty once in the land will not be known as a result of that famine afterward, because it will certainly be very severe. And the fact that the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice means that the thing is firmly established on the part of the true God, and the true God is speeding to do it. So now let Pharaoh look for a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh act and appoint overseers over the land, and he must take up 1/5 of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of plenty, and let them collect all the foodstuffs of these coming good years, and let them pile up grain under Pharaoh's hand as foodstuffs in the cities, and they must safeguard it. And the foodstuffs must serve as a supply for the land for the 7 famine years which will develop in the land of Egypt, in order that the land may not be cut off by the famine. Well, the thing proved to be good in the eyes of Pharaoh and of all his servants, so Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can another man be found like this one, in whom the Spirit of God is?" After that, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has caused you to know all this, there is no one as discreet and wise as you are. You will personally be over my house, and all my people will obey you implicitly. Only as to the throne shall I be greater than you." And Pharaoh added to Joseph, "See, I do place you over all the land of Egypt." With that, Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his own hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and clothed him with garments of fine linen, and placed a necklace of gold about his neck. Moreover, he had him ride in the second chariot of honor that he had, so that they should call out ahead of him, "Avrek," thus putting him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh further said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your authorization, no man may lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt." After that, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, as a wife. And Joseph began to go out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Then Joseph went out from before Pharaoh and toured about in all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land went on producing by the handfuls. And he kept collecting all the foodstuffs of the 7 years that came upon the land of Egypt. And he would put the foodstuffs in the cities. The foodstuffs of the field that was round about a city, he put in the midst of it. And Joseph continued piling up grain in very great quantity, like the sand of the sea, until finally they gave up counting it, because it was without number. And before the year of the famine arrived, there were born to Joseph 2 sons, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore to him. So Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, because, to quote him, "God has made me forget all my trouble and all the house of my father." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, because, to quote him, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my wretchedness." And the 7 years of the plenty that had obtained in the land of Egypt gradually ended. And in turn, the 7 years of the famine started to come, just as Joseph had said, and the famine developed in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was found bread. Finally, all the land of Egypt became famished, and the people began to cry to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you are to do." And the famine obtained over all the surface of the earth. Then Joseph began to open up all the grain depositories that were among them and to sell to the Egyptians, as the famine got a strong grip on the land of Egypt. Moreover, people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy from Joseph, because the famine had a strong grip on all the earth. That is the end of Genesis chapter 41. And it's very interesting because we see the correlation between Joseph, the governor, doing these things, and Silesius, the governor, as written about by Manetho, who exacted a tribute from the people, according to the account of Manetho. Just as Joseph exacted this required tribute of 1/5 of all the produce during the years of plenty. So it appears that this Bible account really confirms that the Silesius of Manetho is Joseph, especially since the Hebrew word for governor is Shalit. And when we look at the actual Hebrew, we see that word, Shalit, for the word for the governor, for the person of Joseph as the governor. So we mentioned that already in a previous study. So this is a very significant evidence that we know that Joseph, even from the Bible, we know that Joseph was the governor of Egypt, but to see him written about in the records of the Egyptian historian Manetho, it's astonishingly important information. So, but this is far more detail that we get from the Bible, of course, about these events, and it's from the point of view of the governor himself. We're reading about this. We might imagine that Joseph kept some kind of record or diary, and that's how we know about these things. Either that or they passed information orally, but that's not as reliable as a written record. So it's possible Joseph wrote about these things, and that all the writings of all the faithful servants of Jehovah were eventually passed on down into the hands of Moses, and then Moses wrote his own account, which included those accounts. But it's a very detailed account here. It seems as though it's very probable that there was a written account, possibly made by Joseph himself, because who else would make that account? Anyway, it's a very, it's like coming as close to God as you can get to read an account by one of God's faithful servants, Jehovah's faithful servant Joseph, in this case. And Joseph didn't really want to take the credit for his ability to interpret dreams either. He said when Pharaoh called him to interpret Pharaoh's dream, Joseph said, "I need not be considered. God will announce welfare to Pharaoh." So Joseph gave the due credit to God, the credit that was belonging to God. He gave it to God, Jehovah. And he even, in the Vulgate, the Latin Vulgate version, can you see that? Let's see. No, you probably can't. Okay. How will I get that here? Right down here. Okay. Right here, in the Latin Vulgate version, it says, "Without me, God will announce welfare to Pharaoh." That's interesting. So, Joseph didn't consider his contribution to the interpretation of the dream to be significant. It was Jehovah that was interpreting it from his standpoint. He was that self-effacing, or that's not just humility, it's self-annihilation. He just eliminated himself from the prospect of consideration there, of being considered by Pharaoh as the source of information, because he didn't have any such thoughts about his own contribution. He was just announcing what God announced, or what God told directly to Pharaoh, is what Joseph thought was happening. He didn't think of himself as part of it. It's very interesting. I need not be considered. He definitely was the mouthpiece through whom Jehovah spoke to Pharaoh in this case, and he told Pharaoh that the dream meant that there was going to be a period of 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine that would follow those years of plenty, as symbolized by the seven fat fleshed cows and the seven skinny cows that swallowed up the fat fleshed cows. And the warning was that there was going to be a famine, but there was an opportunity to pile up the grain. So, I mean, there was going to be an opportunity to prepare for the famine by piling up grain. And Joseph didn't take it upon himself either. He didn't say, well, Pharaoh, appoint me and I will do these things. He, on the contrary, said to Pharaoh, look for a man discreet and wise. But Pharaoh said to himself, and said to his servants, he said, who is more wise than this man, Joseph? So he ended up appointing Joseph as the man in charge over all of Egypt. And Joseph's advice had been to take up one-fifth of the land during the 7 years of plenty. That was his advice to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh said, okay, we're going to appoint you and you're going to do those things. And that's essentially what was done. They started to pile up all the foodstuffs during the years of plenty. And then when the famine came, they had stores that they could turn to with grain in the depositories. They would store up grain because it's dry, right? And dry food is going to keep a lot longer. You don't have to have it refrigerated or anything. It's going to just be kept as dry product in a storage facility, like a giant silo or a big pit in the ground or a big building or someplace where there's lots of space to store it. So that's the end of the study for today. I love you very much. I hope you enjoyed the study today, little children. It's going to be another day. Tomorrow is another day. I'll try and get some sleep. But today, it's warm too, very warm. But it's always cold in the house compared to outside. And if it's not, then it can get too warm inside. I'll have to have air conditioning turned on here. But it's not that warm yet, but it's supposed to be warm outside, but it's still not room temperature. And even if it's room temperature in the house, what is normally room temperature for me is cold on my feet, so, and my legs are cold, so I have to have a heater. So, and I have to have a hat to keep some of my heat in, because I don't have a lot of body insulation fat. You know, the fat that insulates the body is not, I don't have a lot of it, so I don't stay warm. That's part of it, I think. Maybe my circulation has not been as good either. But I hope the microphone worked well today. I think it was rubbing on my clothes yesterday. So it's April 10th, 2023. It's 15:38 hours, and for Ward Green, it's moppy and dusty, saying bye for now.